101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fame, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
You know, they really ought to get rid of that Hoke guy. Don't you think? The show would be a lot better without that Hoke guy.
Bring down the vibe.
I was going to say, I reserve the right to speak my mind later.
Ah! You know what? I didn't really yell yet. Should I yell?
No. It's too late now. The moment has passed.
It never passes. Oy. Never. Anyway, I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us on the Mark Hoke Show here on KDWN 101.5 FM.
720 AM.
On both your dials and, of course, KDWN.com. Don't forget that, because I know a lot of you kids are out there listening on the internets.
On the internets.
Aren't those things cool?
Yeah, they are.
You get on a little computer and, you know, you can find all sorts of cool stuff.
You've got mail.
Yeah. I miss that. AOL was great. I met a lot of girls on AOL.
Again, no comment.
They didn't have to see. I could entertain my personality first before they saw my face. They're like, "Oh, this guy's too cool. It's all good."
Yeah, he was a big star on MySpace.
Dude, MySpace was fun.
He was. It was so bad for him on MySpace. Tom wasn't even his friend.
I didn't want to be friends with Tom. Tom freaked me out. So there you go. I'm Mark Hoke. Andrew Fish Fane sitting over here, the Fish 1969 on Twitter. What's up, big man?
Good morning, my friend. Good morning, Mr. Joe DeFalco.
Yes, good morning. I'm actually awake, you know, from the excitement of the number two wrestling radio show that I did last night at 8 p.m.
Well, it's a combo. You know? Hey, if they want me to keep doing this stuff, I'll do it and do it and do it until I fall over. So it's all good.
I want to raise.
I do, too.
We'll tell you what, we'll give you 10 times what you're making now.
Oh, all right, I'm in.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to have a little conference afterward, I hope so. We'll chat.
A little confab.
Yeah, anyway. But the best in pro wrestling here on KDON. We are happy to have you with us. Interesting week.
Again, and you know, it's funny because last week was like the first week we talked about this, that no news had broke. And then this week we have more breaking news.
Yeah, so of course, we Joe and I and James talked fairly extensively about Jeff Hardy and his release. For those of you that missed it, Jeff was on a house show and tagged out of a match, a six-man match, walked and just kind of took a saunter
through the audience.
Just
well, he didn't have any more spots in the match. What do you want him to do?
Yeah, well, then he looked a little staggery, and off he went.
Maybe it was from being knocked around earlier in the match. You know, he was taking the heat.
That's a distinct possibility, I guess. But WWE, he was not on the next show. WWE offered him rehabilitation. He chose no and was quickly released. So, but Fish, I wanted to give you a shot at this. Like I said, we hit this hard last night, so I'm going to give you the priority. Thoughts on what's going on with Jeff Hardy and what happened? What do you think happened?
Well, I think that part of it is that WWE wanted to do him a solid because Hardy's at the zenith of his career. He's coming towards the end at this point, and I know he wants to team up with his brother. WWE as a company is not going to just say, "Yeah, go ahead, we're going to let you go." And so they need to come up with, it's almost like a work, that the story is a work, so they could have a reason to release him so he can go over to AEW at some point, which I think is what happened. I think that they would, because he's done a lot for the company, for WWE and vice versa. But I think that so they gave him an out, and he took it.
You know, the thing that bothered me so much was I just watched, honestly, about a week and a half ago, I just watched the Broken Skull sessions that he did with that right. Jeff did with
and it was, that was an Steve amazing, Austin. I mean, that, by the way, that show is amazing. The Broken Skull sessions are fantastic if you haven't had a chance to see them.
And the way he was talking and the way things were going, he was going to get maybe that one more push, one more go-round.
Well, yeah, it was just either last week or 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, the entire audience, I think it was 2 weeks ago when him and Drew McIntyre first teamed up. The entire audience, whenever Drew McIntyre was in the ring, the audience was shouting for Hardy.
Yeah, and to see this happen, and happen so fast, I mean, there was no hesitation. Do you want to have rehab? Go to rehab. No, you're out. See it done in a couple of days. It's very strange to me.
Well, if the stories are real, it makes sense because WWE has been down this path with him before. It's like, we've done this before, and the only way you're going to be able to come back, the only way we can trust you is if you go to rehab. And he says, no, he goes, fine. If you're not going to go to rehab, we don't have a choice but to release you. Yeah.
So, and, you know, Joe and I talked a little bit last night, and we'll have that podcast up pretty soon about is Jeff Hardy someone you could book now, and you know it's definitely a risk. So, Joe, did you have any more thoughts on Jeff Hardy and what's going on there?
No, you know, nothing's really changed on the situation. As I said, you know, it just seemed extremely weird. The best stories in wrestling are the ones we want to believe something's going on, and unfortunately, most of the time they end up being non-stories. But our version of what it could have been is way better than what it usually ends up being.
Yeah, that's very true. What's interesting is that Jeff himself is a very private person, so I don't know if we'll ever find out exactly what happened here.
And again, you know, in 3 months, if he's not in AEW, or 6 months, then we may say, hey, you know what, maybe this was a legitimate story, maybe he was messed up, maybe. You know, and it's like we said, you know, he was just starting to get another push, which for some reason they were having him job out for a year, which made absolutely zero sense. So it was like, now you want to believe like, oh, okay, Jeff wants to go back with Matt. They want to do the thing. You know what? They aren't really doing much with him. Let's give him the opportunity. But it's like, It kind of looks bad on him when another company wants to sign him if they think that's the reason why, is because he was all messed up.
Yeah, it's a very odd situation. So we'll see if there's more to the story as it goes along.
Hey guys, time will be the ultimate adjudicator in all of this.
Yep. You know, we'll see if he comes back in 3 months and he attacks Edge while he's cutting a promo. Matt did that. I'm sorry.
Do we really need to get into
nice
that
flashback?
Wow. So who's gonna say the name? Who's gonna say it? Anybody gonna say the name? Lita?
Oh, that name. I was like, what name are you referring to?
What other name is there with those two? Come on.
Good point.
Come on. Well, you know, and we discussed some stuff about Final Battle last night, but now that I got a chance to. You know, last night when I was working in here, obviously, and I did the show, Final Battle was just wrapping up. So at least for now, the final ROH card. But, you know, one thing that really kind of stood out to me last night is that I got to watch at least bits and pieces of what went on last night. This whole thing with EC3 and then Braun Strowman is now Adam Shearer, Titan, whatever he's going to be calling himself.
They're getting buried.
Yeah, they're getting destroyed on this. And, you know, there's a couple things that came to mind when I saw, you know, once I've gotten to kind of have it sink in is, first, your company has just fired everybody. You just fired everybody. How much do you think that it cost Ring of Honor to get him to come in? Joe, you probably have a decent idea, actually. But
yeah, actually I do, because it's funny. Because over the last week, you know, Hammerstone sent me the thing, but I saw it on Twitter. And, you know, Strowman was like, oh, we could do good business together, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, I reach out. And it's like, you know, it's through an agent, you know, to book him. And I hit him up, and then I get the message back. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'd love to do some stuff. You know, are you open to a tag team with EC3? And it's like, why would I want a tag team with EC3? He's the one pitching the idea about Hammerstone. It's like, what does one have to do with the other? And my thinking is, oh, okay, that's right. If he's in a tag team with EC3, he doesn't have to really bump. He doesn't have to do a lot. He's, you know, is there a discount? You know what I mean?
Like, you get it at half price?
Price for two.
They only have to overpay him, you know, four times what he should get instead of eight.
So it's
weird. It's like, yeah. So it's like, you know, he's had the opportunity and he hasn't really done anything. He did a match for EC3's channel, the narrative, and they did something together. But, you know, here's a dude. He was making $1 million a year. You know, what is a fair price to bring him in? $5,000, $10,000, you know, $20,000 like Sting would get? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think his name value, you know, can generate that kind of money. Like, you know, we would have loved to do Strowman against Kevin Cross at the Mecca. But, you know, at that point, the budget will say between Scarlett, Kevin, and Braun Strowman, we'd have to sell out the place. And then we'd have to tell everybody else they couldn't get paid.
Yeah, so... You know, I think that there probably had to be some animosity there with a lot of people that were working for Ring of Honor seeing him
come in,
show up, and for what? Now maybe they made a deal with if he's working with Impact or AEW, maybe there was some sort of cross promotional thing that they were trying to set up with that. Because if you didn't see what happened last night, EC3 came in the ring and at the end of a match. And all of a sudden just starts cutting this nasty promo in Ring of Honor. And Shear comes out with a couple other, he says, you know, release the Titan. And Shear comes out with a couple other guys and they crush everybody that's in the ring. They end up carrying people out and, you know, they have their control the narrative shirts on and then everybody walked out and it was all over. So well, it was just a weird, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it.
Well, here's my thinking. Okay. Matt Cardona did something in GCW that generated so much heat as the anti-guy. Is that what they're looking to do, where they position? Because it's Ring of Honor, you know, they decades long, and EC3 and Strowman are the epitome of the opposite of Ring of Honor. So... probably not the best time to start an angle because, you know, rumor is they're not going to be wrestling again for 6 months, so everybody will be forgetting it, even if they did do a show. But I'm looking at the blueprint of Cardona and Nick Gage and Moxley all involved and how GCW, you know, everything went crazy when that stuff happened. Look at Matt Cardona and Impact. He's just another guy. But in GCW, boy, he was the most hated guy in wrestling. So,
but it got people talking about GCW, which maybe that's what Ring of Honor was doing, saying,
yeah,
you know what?
That's what I'm saying. But, yeah, that's what I believe.
Are they going to bring when? You know, and see, this is the other thing that would chap me too if I was working for Ring of Honor. Okay, let's say that. The plan is we're going to bring this EC3 and Titan stable into the new Ring of Honor. You just got through saying all your finances are completely screwed up. We had to cancel all your contracts. And now here these guys show up. Boy,
it doesn't have anything to do with money. It's Sinclair owns them. They've been losing money for years. So what's the difference if you lose $500,000 or $550,000?
Well, I mean, but could it also be, and I don't know how the business works in this regard, could it also be that there's a promise of money when they re-up in April, so you do this as a one-off appearance just so you can get that storyline kick-started before they come back? So, in other words, the people have something to look forward to in April. Oh, yeah, we got to see this. We got to see Ring of Honor. We got to see what happens with the Braun Strowman or Adam Scher and EC3 storyline.
You know, I'm always trying to do that. I try to get Cage to show up and confront Hammerstone at the show we did in September to set up the show in November. It's just hard because unless they live locally, you're going to have to almost pay their rate to actually not do anything and be a surprise. And, you know, but in big time wrestling, you know, that's always been the tried and true method. You know, you bring in a guy, he surprises, he lays somebody out. And in this situation, you know, EC3 and Strowman, they're going to be monster heels in Ring of Honor. Now, beating up Dak Draper and Brian Johnson's not really going to do much to move the needle, but, you know, are those the guys that go after Gresham, you know, when they do come back? If they do come back, like, again, money's not the object. The more I think about it, the more I think they do come back, but it's just in a totally different situation, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it seemed like they were setting up some other things. You know, AEW obviously had a decent little hand in this event last night.
See, that was my biggest takeaway from it. Yours was the Adam Schefter thing. My biggest takeaway was all these guys talking about, you know, how great Ring of Honor was and what it meant to them, whether it was CM Punk or Bryan Danielson, and not a single WWE guy was allowed. I guess they weren't allowed to come on and say anything about it, which to me seemed a little silly because a lot of those guys in WWE owe everything to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and, you know, of course we had FTR showing up last night after the Briscoes won the title. And you know, been hearing rumors, you know, Briscoe's been backstage at AEW, and, you know, they've wanted that match for a long time. And I can't blame them for wanting to try and, you know, with all the promotion that they did and allowing guys to come in to help set that match up with the Briscoes are going to be on. You know, and Jay Lethal being able to come in and fill in for Bandido, that was really... I think that was a good gesture on everybody's parts, and because I know Jay, from what I've heard, Jay
had
no plans to do this,
right?
And to come in and fill in for Bandido is pretty cool too. But you almost feel like Ring of Honor, not only with their future being uncertain, you almost feel like they did a lot of the stuff to set everybody else up and get a check and get the heck out of there. You know, I mean, it had a strange feel to it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe AEW paid Ring of Honor to allow, you know what I'm saying, to set up a match between FTR and the Briscoes later on.
Joe, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it kind of reminded me of the last WCW show, you know, to where they reset things, whether it was going to make any difference down the line. You know, they had Booker T, you know, re-win the championship. And it was like moving forward, if they did do stuff like that, like, you know, Taven and Bennett won the titles just to lose them to the Briscoes because, you know, in the final record books, whether it means anything or not, the tag team champions are the Briscoes. Or their idea was the guy that was the Ring of Honor guy, Jonathan Gresham, would be the heavyweight champion. Now he's it's UFC style. There's two champions, and if they ever have the opportunity to run again, it's Bandido for Gresham, and Rhett Titus, who, you know, other than when he used to team with Kenny King, and that was years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Rhett was basically just the curtain jerker, the opener, you know, and in most cases, you know, was losing on every show. But, you know, since he was an original, you know, I guess they felt that putting the belt on him, you know, again, does it even matter?
Right. So it's going to be interesting to see where this all ends up for ROH. Of course, they are planning to do a show WrestleMania weekend to come back. So who knows where this is all going to turn out? But it was an interesting night. And, you know, the one thing that disappointed me too, and I guess this is just from the mistakes that they made during the pandemic. I think they only had about 1,600 people there last night. It was about 1,600.
That's way more than they ever have.
Okay, I thought it would be more.
I thought it was a great turnout. Like I saw them when they had their big shows at Sam's Town. They were drawing 700-800 people. When they were toward the end of their run at Sam's Town, they were drawing at the Orleans Arena. They drew like 200 people, which was amazingly low. So 1,600, it means a lot of the old time fans and people, you know, they wanted to come out and say goodbye.
What did you think of the videos sent by the guys from AEW?
That's awesome. You know, whatever you want to say. And it's like Tony Khan. Like, did he have to put that out beforehand? Like, how about it? You know, that should have been a nice, genuine, you know, super cool surprise. You know, my thinking is, okay, everybody's the Lethal Things leak, so maybe that's what Tony Khan's talking about. But he kind of, like, elaborated on, like, oh, we're going to be so involved and we're going to do this. And it was basically just the videos. It wasn't like any of their guys showed up to do anything, but the videos were heartfelt and they, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, made so many careers,
yes, it did.
You know, and if it wasn't for Ring of Honor, I'm guaranteeing there was never going to be an NXT, you know, because they basically raided the vault to create their own version of that niche of wrestling that WWE couldn't do before. And with NXT, they basically became, you know, immediate, you know, between NXT and Ring of Honor, they be that, you know, that became Ring of Honor became competition now for NXT because it was formatted basically the same way, you know, fast paced action packed wrestling, you know, a lot of the newer blood in there mixed in with guys who've been doing it on the super indies. So to me, NXT, you know, just stole the Ring of Honor, you know, frame of how we were going to do things.
Well, that was my point. Was it just petty of the WWE to not allow its superstars to do it, or is it just a coincidence that they didn't do it, or was it just par for the course for the WWE?
It's never a coincidence, you know. I'm pretty sure they were approached about it, and, you know, it wasn't a big deal to Vince McMahon because, you know, he lives in his box. And, you know, even though the fans would have loved, you know, to see, again, is he under contract? Can Kyle O'Reilly have done anything? Or you know, could have, you know, any of those guys? I guess they could have. If Kyle O'Reilly was not under contract anymore, then he could have just did the video. Or you got Ciampa, who's actually the NXT champion. It was a mainstay in Ring of Honor. You know, it would have been nice.
You know, Cesaro and Seth Rollins are another couple of Ring of Honor guys.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
For people that never watched Ring of Honor and really didn't follow it, you have to understand that this organization really does have its fingerprints all over
professional wrestling. Without question.
You know, you think about Daniel Bryan just as one guy.
And CM Seth Rollins, Punk.
Take Punk, Rollins, and Bryan out of WWE history, and what happens? I mean, it could. We'd be watching a lot of Triple H, I guess.
No, we already were watching a lot of Triple H,
even more so.
But be aware, you know, Sinclair buying Ring of Honor really kind of changed how it was seen. Now, unfortunately, it became more of a corporate company.
Yeah, that is very true. But, you know, I always enjoyed watching Ring of Honor. And, you know, to me, you know, if a while back when you would have told me, well, what's your first show you're going to watch when I turn on the DVR, it was Ring of Honor. It was Ring of Honor. I didn't want
to
miss it.
Right. To me, Ring of Honor, ECW was Ring of Honor before Ring of Honor, though, in that same regard, that ECW put a lot of guys out there as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously a different style of wrestling.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was a great promotion, and they just made a lot. The pandemic got them, and they didn't handle it right. They did not handle it right.
The problem is nobody knew how to handle it because I don't even know if WWE handled it right, but they had enough money behind them that they could fix any mistakes they made.
Well, yeah, and I think the biggest mistake that ROH made was, you know, and I understand that they were trying to protect their performers, and I get it, but they pre-taped ahead so far with nobody in the audience, and they had so many shows in the can. Man, they had to just go with it, and they were stuck. They were absolutely stuck. So,
and then there was absolutely zero storyline too. So
yeah, everything got wiped out. I mean, between AEW and WWE, they were. I mean, they didn't lose everybody, but they lost a lot of really likable personalities that people were enjoying to see wrestle. You know, the Young Bucks and all that troop, Hangman Page and all those guys disappeared, and Vince had already
raided them.
So many guys off. yeah, it just, you know, it was...
Well, you know, you're talking the mainstays, a guy like Gresham. Well, 3 years ago, Gresham was a blip on the radar in Ring of Honor.
Yes,
well, that's what you're saying about Rhett Titus. You know, he was just a curtain puller, and now because of all the defections, he's become a main event player.
You know, Dalton Castle, you know, dropped off, and of course you still had Jay Lethal and the Briscoes, you know, but who are the Briscoes wrestling? You know, you had a ton of great tag teams in AEW for a long time, and just...
Right, everything was makeshift between, you know, Kenny's group. They held the belts for, you know, you can't tell. Was it 3 months or was it 4 weeks? You know what I mean?
Because right, everything because was of the tapings.
And, oh,
yeah.
this, that, and the other thing. And then Taven and Bennett win just, you know, to hold the belts. You know, they had zero title defenses. You know, they waited for this and just to bring it back to the Briscoes. And, like, Jay Lethal is... you know, the epitome of Ring of Honor. And, you know, it's a sad day when it's like, oh, Jay Lethal's not going to be appearing at Final Battle. You know, he asked for his early release and signed with AEW. That's, you know, that's jumping off the ship before everybody else.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to jump off a sinking ship like that. But, you know, at the same time, he had, you know, Jay Lethal had to protect himself. So I understand, and I don't.
Well, yeah. His contract was up. He had told me his contract was up at the end of December, and everybody else was getting paid till March if they had a contract.
Right.
And then they were going to decide what to do. So he was in a position where he's getting that offer. If he waits till March, now there's 40 other guys. And they could try to lowball him if they want. But if they want him now, they got to pay.
Yeah, because when you flood the market like that, all of a sudden everyone's value becomes a lot lower.
Yeah, it's watching all these guys come in with the rates that they do. And it's like, I shake my head. Like, these guys are asking double than what they used to in the past. And there's so many more guys to choose from. Like, if I'm going to pay X amount of dollars, I can do that. But now I have some... good pickings on who I want to pay that money to.
And that's a topic that I'm going to get into a little bit later in the show in terms of wrestling pay, because there was something on Wrestling Observer that popped up last week that I want to talk to you guys about that I found absolutely fascinating. And we'll get a little NXT and some other things going on too. And MJF and Punk, the Long Island Showdown. Gotta love it. So, hey, stick around. We're going to have more on the Mark Hoke Show in just a little bit here on KDWN. Stick around.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
I'm doing my little I'm Adam Shear and I just made a ton of money dance here in the studio. That's what I'm doing. I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. Joe DeFalco of Future Stars of Wrestling. And by the way, that Mecca card coming up in February, oh, that's going to be something else. Go check out everything he's got going on. If you want to learn to be a wrestler or a referee or announcer.
Right. You could be the next Chris Bay, Solo Sikoa, Killer Cross.
I could be the next Killer Cross.
Todd Sinclair, the referee from Ring of Honor. That might be a little more my speed. I don't know. But
You're more Harvey Whippleman.
Yeah, attributes are pretty similar. So
yeah, I know. I got to do something about that too. If I ever trained to be a referee, I'd know I'd have to get back in shape. No offense to Sinclair. The fact that he's a little portly. But he is one of the most fun referees to watch.
Give him credit.
Come on, man. I got to stick up for my own.
A little portly?
I got to stick up for my own. Stop it.
Wow.
Don't. Come on, man. Okay. What if I ever taught? If I have Todd on the show and say, you know what, Todd? My co-host thought you look like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. How's that going
to
go?
If you ever have him on the show, I will tell them you look like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
You are so bad. Anyway. Go to fswvegas.com and check out everything Joe's got going on down there. It's a lot. It is a lot. NXT. Now, I wanted to take a little different approach. You know, we talked generally about War Games last night. But, you know, Fish, we were actually just starting to have this discussion. For anybody that watched the NXT War Games and you saw the men's match, there was the black and gold team against the NXT 2.0 team, the veterans against the young guys. And we had predicted the young guys would win, and they did. And now Kyle O'Reilly's gone. Johnny Gargano, contract's up. Lord knows where he's going to end up. But it was interesting.
Yeah, that's a real secret.
Yeah, but it was interesting that the crowd was chanting black and gold, black and gold, black and gold. And if you watch that War Games match, you know, other than Braun Breaker, the young guys didn't really stand out that much. And
to be honest with you, the event was staged for Braun Breaker, not for the other three guys. Yeah, the other three guys are on the team. I get it, but Braun Breaker is the guy that NXT 2.0 is promoting to be the flag bearer of their new look.
It should have been green and gold for those guys.
That is precisely my point that I'm getting to. Imperium looked awesome in their tag match. You know, Roderick Strong looked good, but the old guard is now, as you said to me just a little while ago, is just about gone in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tommaso Ciampa. I get it. LA Knight is an older veteran wrestler, but he hasn't been in NXT that long. Tommaso Ciampa is like the only guy left that's been in NXT for a while.
So here's the problem that I think they've got. The fans wanted more of the veterans.
Fans love nostalgia.
That team was Johnny Gargano, LA Knight, Pete Dunne, and Ciampa. And I hate to tell everybody, that era's over. Is this show going to be watchable at this point? Now, I'm not going to say that everybody on there's a bad wrestler or anything like that. You know, Cameron Grimes and Duke Hudson had a good match. I like Cameron Grimes. I think he's got something, you know, pretty special. You know, this.
Yeah, Trevor Lee's really good. They kind of have him in these goofy comedy stuff, and it actually works, but he's an outstanding wrestler. You know, go back to when we had him and he teamed with Shane Strickland against the Young Bucks at one of our shows, and it was through the roof. It was one of the best matches on the show. But for some reason, he hasn't really found a niche other than being, you know, some comedy fodder for NXT.
I mean, and that whole million-dollar battle with him and LA Knight was actually quite compelling for the way it went. And then they kind of turned it into more comedy, and it became a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it got out of hand. But just so you know, Cameron Grimes' real name is Trevor Lee Cattle. So just so you know, we're talking about
the Hardys.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and and I enjoyed that match with him and Duke Hudson. I thought
absolutely. I get your point, and that's going to be an issue. But you do have guys like Pete Dunne who are going to help carry, I guess, that flag. Because I don't know if Pete Dunne's going in. I think Pete Dunne, they've done him a disservice because I think he's a fantastic wrestler.
But he's going to, you know, but even he's going to get pushed aside. You know, I think this becomes the Braun Breaker show. Solo Sikoa is going to be, you know, obviously, you know, Joseph Fatu is going to start getting featured too. You know, we're showing all the hot ladies, you know, Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction. And that match was okay, even though I didn't really like the whole shoulder dislocation. Oh my gosh, wait, you know what? I can make a pin here real quick. I've gone through those things with shoulder dislocations and it just to me that didn't look good because I've gone through it.
See, and like but someone like Io Shirai to me is on the fence. She's old school, but she's also new school.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing's in flux right now, and I just don't know. It's not must watch for me. I mean, one guy or two guys is not must watch, at least for me in my fandom.
No, I guess how much time do you give them to build it up so it becomes that way?
But can they? That's my question. Can they?
Well, they're in a total restructure process. You know, when they were running live events and you got Nakamura was on the show and Finn Balor was on the show, they were paying a lot of money to draw 500 people. You know what I mean? And it's like, in reality, Pete Dunne should be on the main roster. You know, Walter should be on the main roster. But NXT was, you know, people liked working it. It was like, well, I'm making pretty much the same amount of money and I'm getting, you know, to wrestle the way I want. Well, now the option is to go to AEW and do the same exact thing and probably make more money doing it. So now a guy like Kyle O'Reilly, I don't know if he would succeed in the WWE world of Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Just because personality-wise, you know, it's not engaging, you know. Yeah, a lot of these guys, like L.A. Knight, he would flow right into it. You know, to me, Baron Corbin is a dumbed down version of L.A. Knight. You know, like I think there's so much more that he can do compared to Corbin, but they like him. So, you know, when they like somebody, you know, because count how many failed gimmicks they have on your hands.
Yeah. Well, he's bigger and taller. He's more of a Vince McMahon kind of guy.
And I think they screwed up with Baron Corbin because I love that lone wolf persona, and I thought that was the character he should have kept on being. And then they shaved his head and he became King Corbin and Happy Corbin. It's like, come on. You're getting ridiculous with him now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you where I think they made the biggest mistake with him was putting him in the retirement match with Kurt Angle a while back. Because
yeah.
People just, you know, after that, there was just like, I beat Kurt Angle. Why were you even in that match? And that's not his fault.
Well, because they thought he was going to be the next hot thing. So him beating Angle is going to be, you know, to them, it was that signature win. Or when Fandango ended up, when Jericho came back and Fandango got the match against him at WrestleMania, you know, and it's... You know, they always have that flavor of the month that they think, and you can always go back and see, like...
It just shows you WWE's been booking horribly for years, and we just haven't paid attention to it.
And the problem is that they just throw these guys into, you know, top-tier feuds almost right away, and they don't take the time to see if people are really going to get over or not. You know, and
They don't build it the way they used to.
Right.
You know, remember when Edge and Christian and Val Venus and all those guys came in, there was like 2 months of vignettes and packages, and then they'd come out and they would throttle somebody mm-hmm. for, you know, a couple of months, and you would be forced to believe, like, hey, this is a guy to be reckoned with.
Yep.
And now they just throw him out there. You know, look at what they did with Cross. He came out and he killed some people, and then out of nowhere they had Jeff Hardy beat him, and then Keith Lee beat him, and then he beat him back, and it was just like the old 50-50 booking thing that they like to do, where nobody wins a feud. So it just becomes, you know, rolling the eyes, you're following the thing. It's like, who would have believed that Drew McIntyre was the man 2 years ago?
Yeah. And they just did the same thing with Los Lotharios on SmackDown. They just had, after they were building them up, lost to Shinsuke and Rick Boogs.
Yeah, but the one person so far they did build up with vignettes, and they finally made their debut, and I thought it was an interesting debut, was Xia Li.
Yeah.
On Friday night. And I thought, first of all, I didn't need to hear Pat McAfee saying that's the most intimidating thing he's ever seen. But the graphics when she came out with the lightning coming out was actually kind of cool looking. At least I thought that. And then watching her come to the ring, now it'll be interesting to see what they do with her, because they did build her up with vignettes. But then they tried the same thing with Elias. They built him up at the new, you know, Elias is dead, et cetera, et cetera. And we haven't seen him or the vignettes now in 3 months.
Yeah, it's a mess, that's for sure. Well, we were talking a little bit about the pay thing, and I wanted to bring this up to you guys and get your thoughts. About a week and a half ago, Mike Severisi on the Wrestling Observer, they were talking about how much money WWE was making, and he said that the wrestlers in WWE are criminally underpaid for what they're doing. I actually did take a little bit of time and found a few articles just to kind of see where everybody is, as much as information as you can get. You know, and the top guys, you know, like your Reigns and your
Brock Lesnar,
are in the 5 million range, and it kind of works its way down.
I think Becky Lynch is like at 3.5 million.
She's in the 3 million-ish
range. And so is Charlotte.
The money is insane these days. The low end guys are going to probably make a couple hundred thousand. How is that criminally underpaid?
Yeah, well, let me keep running some of these numbers real quick that I dug up. A lot of the lower guys that are on the main roster are making about 200,000. The NXT guys anywhere from down to the average salary is around 70. With the higher ones getting about 150.
Really quickly, I did see there was a top five women's pay, and the numbers 5, 4, and 3 are all making 350,000, and then it jumped up to the two top tape, which was Becky and Charlotte at 3.5 million.
Right.
So there's no mid range there. It's either 350 or 3.5 million.
So this is
they got to earn that spot. It was like, you know, Roman Reigns 4 years ago wasn't making $5 million.
No, but hasn't Sasha Banks earned that spot yet?
It has to do with the longevity. It has to do with the first contract. She might be in the middle. She might be toward the end of her 5-year contract or whatever it is.
Right, okay, I got you.
And guarantee you that she's going to be making $3 million. You know, it's kind of like in baseball. Some of the best players don't make any money because they have the arbitration and all the other crap that holds them down for 6 years, and then they become a free agent, and all of a sudden these guys are getting $300 million for 10 years.
Right. Now, and you make absolute sense there. The one name, and it's funny because this is the other name I haven't heard about in WWE for a while, and that's because she's been injured, is Bayley.
Yeah, I'm sure she's probably up there too, but
when they've had to go through it's just like in football. You sign the rookie contract. You know, how much money was Dak Prescott not making up until this year? You know, it didn't matter that he was really good, but why would I have to pay the guy $25 million when his contract says I only have to pay him $1
million? No, absolutely.
The whole premise of the discussion that they had was, well, WWE's making all this money, so they should be sharing it with the wrestlers. And to a point, okay, I want the talent to make as much money as they can. But at the same time, you're running a business. And you have the right to pay people what you want to pay.
But isn't that part of what caused the WCW to fail, is the fact that they were paying everybody millions of dollars? Yeah. A lot of them were getting paid that kind of money just to stay home.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I knew this was going to get Joe going.
Look at WWE. They could cut 30 more guys. There's guys that are being paid that are not doing anything. And they don't run 5-6 days a week like they used to.
Right. It's not the 250 day a year schedule anymore.
So now the guy who's getting $300,000, who used to have to go on the road all the time and have to get his own car, and you know, he would have to pay for his own hotel because they're all independent contractors. Guess what? Now they're based in Florida, and unless they're doing a big show, they're doing a couple of house shows. What do they do? 4 or 5 house shows a month if they're lucky anymore. So now your $300,000 is broken up, and you're only doing 4 shows a month compared to 16 shows a month.
Yeah. So I didn't see that argument there. It just because a company is making money doesn't mean they have to share it if they don't want to.
No, but and you're right. You look at the top guys. You look at the Roman Reigns and the Brock Lesnar's. They are getting paid. It's not the WWE's being cheap and saying, okay, you know, Roman Reigns, we're going to give you $500,000 for all the work you're doing and all the money that you're bringing in. The guys who are bringing in the money are getting paid. Brock Lesnar puts butts in seats, so he's going to get paid whatever he wants to get paid.
Yeah, if you are, and of course with some wrestlers, getting booked badly hurts them. You know, not totally their fault, but you've got to earn the right, and you've got to get over it. And you are held back by what WWE does, but at the same time, you've got to make your own sense. Zack Ryder to me was a perfect example of a guy who was sitting on the bench, was not doing much of anything, and he made himself
with the
he
internet. Figured with the it long, out. The long, what he was it? The Long Island
out.
Something.
Yeah, the Long Island Tales.
Right, and he got paid, and people could say whatever they want, but that dude got paid for like 12 years in WWE.
Yes, he
now,
did.
Now, when he wasn't being used right to what the internet people thought and everything else, or Dolph Ziggler is more than happy to re-sign and barely be used and make $3 million instead of going on the indies to try to get $5,000 a pop and hope he's going to get booked. You know, there's three sides to every story, my side, your side, and the actual side, you know. And all these guys, they want to complain about it. A guy like Austin Aries says, you know what, you're not using me. Get rid of me. Let me go do my own thing. I don't need the money that badly. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then there's the other guys, you know, Heath Slater. Well, Heath Slater stayed and continued to be paid without being used and would re-sign a contract, or Dolph Ziggler. They didn't have to re-sign. They could have left. You know, Heath didn't leave till they kicked him out the door.
Right, and you brought this point up earlier when we were talking about the booking fee for Braun Strowman, and you said, you know, Sting demands 20,000. Yeah, he demands 20,000 because if you advertise that Sting's going to be somewhere, you're going to sell out that place.
Your house is
but packed, but if you're going to advertise that Braun Strowman's going to be there, you may not, and it could hurt. It would be a waste of money. So you're going to pay the guys that are going to put butts in seats.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he hadn't done it long enough, and he also made some remarks that a lot of the fans, you know, don't take lightly. You know, a guy like Braun got, like, pushed to the moon and made a lot of money very quickly, but he never really showed, I guess you could say, that respect
to the business,
to the people that paid him. And supposedly even backstage, he wasn't the easiest guy to get along with. And, you know, again, while it was a shock to us, it's kind of like the Jeff Hardy thing. Well, it seems like it came out of nowhere, but we don't know the inner workings of if they've been dealing with this with Jeff for the past 5 months. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. So we're just going on what we hear because, you know, little stuff comes out from Meltzer and little stuff comes out there. And then it's like, well, what's the truth? What isn't the truth? You know, you never really know. And, you know, money-wise, it's like there's so many people who choose to just take the money. And then when they get released, then they can complain about what a miserable work atmosphere it is.
How does Meltzer get the access that he gets?
That's just
I guess because there's, you know, people who like getting their story out. And, you know, I remember 30 years ago, you know, I'd listen. There was a guy on WFAN, Jody McDonald.
I still listen to Jody Mac, actually, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And I used to, you know, I was driving home from the nightclub in Connecticut. It was like 1 a.m. and I looked forward to it. Every Saturday night, Jody Mac came on for like an hour and he'd give you the scoops on things that you never knew about because, you know, it would get released and you would always want to know the spoilers and, hey, who's that guy under the mask and all the other stuff. People always, you know, want to give out that information and they do it. You know, just like the guy who, that's why you can't bet parlays in wrestling anymore, because somebody always knows something.
Yep. And of course, Meltzer's been around for.
No, I know. Because he's very well respected as far as the business goes, as far as the stuff that he puts out there.
I just wish he'd clean his office. You guys ever seen Dave Meltzer's office?
I have not, but I can imagine.
Is that like a name drop, like he was hanging out in his office?
That guy still has papers everywhere. It's unbelievable.
You know, when I was at Austin Aries' house for brunch, you know what I mean?
It was on Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, okay. Because I was saying
he was on Dark Side of the Ring, and they showed his office. It's a disaster. It's a disaster.
Well, maybe they showed up unexpectedly, and he didn't have a chance to have his maid clean it.
There was no hope. He couldn't have had 10 maids clean that up. He's got papers on papers on papers. It's a pretty amazing. Before we got a few minutes left, and before we get out of here, I wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about what was going on in AEW. Of course, we got Winter is Coming, and we got Hangman Page, Bryan Danielson coming up. But the MJF and CM Punk, Fish is pointing his finger at
me. Yeah, I just want to, but before you get there, I just want to know what you get, because that event is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, does Danielson win the belt, or are they keeping it on Hangman Adam Page?
I think Danielson's going to win. Joe, you had your opinion on that. Let's give it to us here real quick.
Well, yeah, I can't see them pinning Danielson, and I, you know, that's great. You want to make Adam Page your main guy. Well, that was great when the concept came up 2 years ago. When you got way more guys that are way more over, you know, not that Danielson needs a belt, but unless they're going to feud him with somebody big time that's going to cost him the match, you know, where do you go? You know, it's like, so you bring in this big superstar who's, you know, top of his game, and then, you know, it would be great for Paige to win, you know, for him. But, you know, I don't know if that's really where they want to go because, you know, just like 2 years ago, Cody Rhodes and then the Young Bucks, they all had creative control and they did everything they wanted to do. And now Tony Khan saw that you can't let the inmates run the asylum, regardless of what you think of them personally. it is a business, and you have to do what's best for your business. You know, you can have all the money in the business.
Oh, haven't heard that one for a while.
There's that WWE line.
What's best for business? Well, I'm curious to see what's going to be best for business with MJF and Punk, because they did another outstanding job.
He has to win. He has to win.
Yeah, and with that show being on Long Island, MJF getting popped and still being a complete jerk, which is terrific.
And Punk was cutting the heel promo. It was beautiful.
It was like a dress rehearsal for something that's coming.
It's going to be a double turn, my friends. Double turn. MJF goes babyface because he's like the new Steve Austin. Austin was never a good guy.
Do you think I can't see
him. I'm just wondering if Punk is going to do the deed for MJF.
Well, I think there's going to be some interesting things happening between Punk, MJF, Page, and Danielson. I think there's going to be some shenanigans going on here shortly.
Yesterday I thought you said Cage, and I'm like, well, I know you're not talking about Brian, but we're still talking about Christian being in the final and being in the main four guys. Like,
no,
what?
I don't know. If they take
the belt off Page and make him a transitional champion, and not that anyone's going to care, but I don't think he's going to be too thrilled with that because I think he thought he was going to have a nice long run with it.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, so a lot of times that second run is a lot better than the first. At WWE, they always put those belts on somebody for a short time to see if they were ready for it. And then down the line say, okay, this is the guy that we could count on. You know, let's give him a little taste. Let's see how he handles the pressure. Let's see, you know, it's a different dynamic AEW when Paige thought he was going to become the champion.
Yep.
You know, nobody expected them to have this roster filled with legit wrestling superstars.
And we've got about a minute. I just want to mention this real quick, that at the winner is coming MJF, going for his third diamond ring with going against Dante Martin, which is going to be interesting. So we'll see if Team Taz gets involved in that. Or if MG or Punk gets in, that
what about Taz's son? You haven't even brought up Taz's son now.
Hook
I didn't even realize
good.
It.
We didn't get to Hook. We'll have to talk about Hook next time. But hey, thank you for joining us. Andrew Fish Fane, The Fish 1969 on Twitter. Joe, you can follow him, FSW Vegas. Mark Hoke Show on Twitter. The Mark Hoke Show on Facebook, markhokeshow.com. And we're going to be back with more next weekend. But download this podcast, markhokeshow.podbean.com. As you've been doing for everybody all over the planet. We really do appreciate it. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mark Hoke Show here on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM. Have a great Sunday, everybody.